Hello, and welcome to the Warrior Family Ministries podcast. I am Chaplain Brenda Swartz, the host for today, and with me in the studio are Chaplains Becky and Randy Reed. They're going to be here today as we talk about our chaplain centers that will be rolling out in 2020. Welcome.
Hello, Brenda. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hi, Brenda. Thank you for having us.
I'm so excited because this is the first time we get to talk about something that's been on our heart for years. It's finally coming to fruition, and it's coming out starting headstrong in the Wilmington area with the first one. But let's just start this way. Let me ask you this. What is a chaplain center?
A chaplain center is a Warrior Family Ministry facility that's operated by WFM. Okay, it's to provide counsel and emotional support for first responders, veterans, and their families. It's a very safe, comfortable environment where people can come to talk, where someone's going to be with them that will walk through anything that they bring up.
So you say they're going to help them sort through and walk through anything that they can bring up. So you brought up the fact that you're going to be offering different resources and levels of care for these men and women. So tell me exactly what you're looking at having in there.
We're planning to have chaplains who have been specifically trained to operate these facilities or to be in these facilities. They'll be critical incident stress management trained. They'll be trained in PTSD, to be trained on the specific issues that first responders and veterans encounter, especially specifically with family issues. If they're looking for marriage counseling or if they're looking for help to get through communications issues, all those things, our chaplains are trained specifically to handle this type of stuff.
So your chaplains are going to be specifically trained. Are all chaplains going to be working in these centers?
No. Chaplain Center chaplains will go through a specific training program that's designed for a chaplain center chaplain, such as we'll be going through very specifically about the ethics behind being a chaplain to man these centers. They got to be very huge heart to work with these people. They have to be able to work with people with faith or little of no faith, be very non-judgmental, and also be very, very careful in how they approach people so that we don't trigger them or to scare them away.
What is going to be the difference between a chaplain center chaplain who is working in providing care or resources for these men and women and their families versus a church?
Okay. Churches specifically have their own type of counseling, such as biblical counseling. And biblical counseling is heavy on the emphasis on being saved and salvation in Jesus. Okay. Chaplain Center chaplains are specifically, their first job is to walk alongside someone and to reflect Christ in how they approach people. Not so much as to say those things, but to actually project that. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. And that's what a Chaplain Center chaplain does. That's their primary mission, is to reflect that, but not necessarily say that. So people will be attracted by how we treat them versus what we're trying to get them to believe or what we believe.
That's an interesting point. I know that being a Warrior Family Ministries chaplain, I know we're a ministry of presence that serves outside the walls of the church. And we push the idea that, you know, we serve those of a faith and no faith. I think you mentioned that earlier. You know, we also serve those that may have no belief at all. It doesn't matter where they're at in this life, whether they're churchgoers or non-churchgoers or whatever role they walk in throughout everyday life, right?
That's correct.
So I'm curious, if the chaplain centers are open to all of those different walks of life, different beliefs, different faiths, are your chaplains that work in these chaplain centers, give me an example of how someone that you're talking to who says, I don't want to hear anything about Jesus. I don't want to hear anything about God. I don't want to hear anything about, you know, whatever it is you're believing in. I just need someone to help me. Give me an example of how you would handle that kind of person.
Well, we handle those people by trying to determine what they really need right then and there. Most people just want help to be able to get through the next 30 seconds instead of through the next 30 days. And so what we find out is if the person is just experienced a very traumatic event, it's a place where someone's not judged, and that's a huge thing. They're free from judgment. They're also free from being pressed to be made to talk. It's all about walking alongside. And so an example would be, let's say a first responder just saw a horrible accident. Maybe it could be that they just want to have a place to be quiet. So it could be a session, could be that we don't say anything at all, that we just sit with them. So it's all about what we determine what the immediate need is that someone needs, and not so much anything that has to do with our agenda or where we think where they need to be or need to go.
So what are some commonalities, I think, because that's a broad range of people. You're dealing with military, you're dealing with veterans, you know, most of those are going to be combat issues, especially in this day and age. Then you're telling me you're dealing with law enforcement, first responders, EMTs, emergency management, you've got 911 operators. I mean, the list goes on and on and on in first responder world. How are you able to work with all of those different areas in a chaplain center?
It's actually a lot easier than you think. When you take the approach that we're just trying to figure out what's the first thing that they need, and mostly people need a place that they can talk, okay, where they're not judged, okay, and they're not, and there's no agenda, okay. And so the commonality between all these groups, they're dealing with stuff that's very hard to describe. So we're all trained in that. So we all know what to be trauma-informed. And so a lot of people that come to us, to talk to us, they say that most people don't understand what we go through.
Right.
And the
right.
biggest thing is that we are placing ourselves in a position to take the time to understand that so that we can help. Because then we can talk the language, we can speak to their hearts, and that's the huge thing. That's the commonality, because you're dealing with people who can't describe what they go through. It's very difficult, and with that comes patience. That's why chaplain center chaplains will be selected very specifically for their patience, for their ability to adapt, for their ability to learn, for their ability to talk to people on any type of level and approach anybody at any particular level.
We don't necessarily pray with them if that's not where they're at, but it's very important to be keep everything they say confidential, and so that they learn to trust that relationship and open up.
You bring up a good point, Becky, the confidentiality of all of this. So, you know, the first thing I would be a little leery of is if I truly tell you what I'm going through, are my higher-ups or my peers going to eventually hear about it because I confided in a Warrior Family Ministries chaplain in their chaplain center?
Confidentiality is huge, and we take it so strongly that if anyone or we hear of anyone has a hint of divulging anything to even other chaplains, we dismiss them, and they're no longer allowed to be a chaplain. So part of the reason the chaplain center's here is that we've been talking to the first responders, to the fire chiefs, and they're saying that the folks that are there, they don't want to have they don't want their stuff to be known by the higher ups, okay? Because it could affect their career, it could affect
right.
the way other people see them, and so we're here to provide a place that they could talk without any with any risk of anybody finding out, because that's why we're here. It's a
right,
huge part of
right.
our mission is to provide a place that they could talk without judgment, without condemnation, and also with great confidentiality.
Yeah, I know that when we teach our basic chaplain training and then when we come together at, you know, different various functions and stuff for trainings, we really do preach the confidentiality. And that's one thing I love about Warrior Family Ministries and their chaplains, because there is only two things that they can be dismissed for. And one of them is breaking a confidence, and the other one is
impersonating an officer.
There you go.
Okay.
So I think that's to me that speaks volumes of the organization, and it speaks volumes of what we're looking for when it comes to chaplains and how they are seen as someone that people can trust and that people can relate to, and how they can come alongside and help them. I love also that you mentioned that there's no agenda as far as personal agendas. And I loved how you mentioned something about that not all chaplains are chaplain center people, even though chaplains do deal with crisis and trauma all the time. Tell me this, if I wanted to, let me back up. You said you don't have to report anything. But let's make it perfectly clear, by law,
we are mandatory reporters, okay, under the law. Just like everybody else, okay? So if we find out if there's abuse, okay, or issues with minors, everything that has to do with that law, we are mandatory reporters, and that's huge. We don't hold back on that.
Right. So let me touch on that a minute. So the law states that suspected neglect or abuse with minors
18 years or less,
senior adults,
correct, 65 or greater,
and any person disabled. That is disabled.
That's correct. It's very clear. The law is very clear, and we go over that a lot. As a matter of fact, we do refresher sessions with that. I might want to add is to be a chaplain center chaplain, you're also going to be part of an ongoing training program. We just don't train you and out you go.
Turn you loose.
Is that there will be a monthly follow-up. We also pay attention to like who takes care of the caregivers, right. Which will be a part of our chaplain care chaplains,
right.
Which is a different thing. But the whole issue here is that these folks are constantly in a state of training and in a constant state of have a heart for care for first responders, you know, veterans and their families. It's a culture. And the one thing I really want to hammer home, the confidentiality is part of our culture. It's not a it's not a thing that we teach. We have to believe that and breathe that, or we don't have a chaplain center.
That's right. That's good stuff. So we will be right back after this brief pause, and we're going to continue on with Chaplains Randy and Becky Reed, and we're going to get into relationships a little bit.
Yes, my name is Louis Blumenthal. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida, taking this amazing course. And the reason I'm taking this course for chaplaincy is because it deepens the relationship with the Lord. And there's some areas that I was not aware that were blocking me from interacting with some other people in distress or not in distress that I'm starting to learn to manage and be more open, be able to help other people because now I have less points of reacting on something and it's easier to understand other people as I'm walking in their shoes. And now I can empathize with them and starting instead of trying to judge or trying to put together, it's starting to flow. That's basically the reason I'm here. Thank you.
And welcome back. I am Chaplain Brenda Swartz, and I'm here today with Chaplains Randy and Becky Reed, who are the national directors for the chaplain centers that will be rolling out in 2020. Randy, we were talking earlier, you and Becky and I, about the different forms of care that we're going to be giving these heroes that we serve and their families. Let me ask this, because I want to clear this up. Why are you including their families?
Because families are a huge part of a first responder's life. If you don't have family, you have no stability. You have nothing to go back to. And so that's a very difficult thing to have family issues along with trying to deal with the job of being a first responder or a veteran. It'd be just almost impossible because families walk alongside just like the first responders. They run into a burning building. The families have the same thing because the first responders come home. So it's very important that the families understand how all this works because care goes into all those areas because a lot of stress can be from the families. because these folks come home and the first thing you want to know is, how was your day?
You're right.
If they can't explain the day, then it starts from there. And so we have to sometimes educate families as well. Here's how these folks can enter the home, or here's how these folks, or some of the issues that will start to cause triggers or hurt for these folks. So it's all an educational process, but families are gold. I mean, I can't see how they can do it without it.
So let me ask you this, follow up on families, because not all military or veterans or our first responders, law enforcement, the whole gamut, not all of them are married. So what is a family?
A family is anybody that you come encounter with, that you have a relationship with. It could be your friends, it could be your comrades, it could be your fellow, your fellow workers. But anything that has to do with relationship, we consider that to be family.
Right. Moms, dads, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, spouses, ex-spouses, kids, the whole gamut.
Okay. And so we teach everybody, mm-hmm. how do they all interact with each other so that that all this works.
Right. So one of the things I know that you and Becky specialize in on your level is marriage and marriage, the care of marriage, the care of that relationship, the nurturing of it. Tell us a little bit about how you, walking into a chaplain center with a young couple, or, you know, at least, you know, the couple that walks in, whether they're believers or not, how do you go about working with that part of the family to nurture it, to strengthen it, to make it a closer bond?
We love working with couples. We've been doing it for the last 12 years. And Becky and I do it together. And the reason we've always done it together is a couple sitting with couples is very strong. It's a very, it gives a really incredible image because they watch us. How do we interact with each other? How do we work together? And it's kind of neat. I do most of the talking, as you can tell from this podcast. I'm doing most of the talking. Becky has her incredibly important role. I'll let her explain that. But the big thing is we always treat a couple as one. We never see them as individuals within that couple. They're always one because they were joined together as one. So, and that's the first thing we tell them. This is how we see it. You may have challenges or things that you're working with, but you're one. And when we think of you and pray for you, if they allow us to, we always see you as one. That's the foundation. And we find that gives them such hope. Is that, wow, we could be a mess, but here's a couple that sees us as together. And so that's the first place to start.
Right.
So
another thing we do is, as a couple meeting with a couple, we don't allow one or the other to disparage the partner. We keep focused on each individual speaking from their own hearts of what is happening and what are they struggling with, what they're struggling with. We're very careful not to have a session of bashing, or we just try to keep it all very
civil.
Civil, yeah, that's a good word. But walk with them. Sometimes emotions do get high, but we're just there to be a calming presence and just see how we can help them better understand each other. Yeah, sometimes it's really tough.
Yeah. The big thing is teach people how to communicate.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that's non-judgmental, just like we approach them. Non-judgmental, non-condemning.
That's awesome. That is so good. So in your sessions with them, you see them as one, but do you treat them that way? Do they lose their individuality in these sessions? Explain a little more about that.
Individuality comes from who they are. And we just teach them how to identify their strengths and their challenges for each other, so that they can support support each other instead of having conflicts. All of a sudden, you can see that those conflicts, where you've got basic skills in each of the individuals, you can bring that out and show them how they can work together.
Right, right. That makes sense.
Yeah, each individual has talents and gifts that the other one may not have, and they have to learn to appreciate those and to lift that up and be encouraging for what they do bring to the table and not what they're not good at, but they're both good at something. And so that's what we try to lift that up and have it be more an encouragement for each other And we have this saying about legs, love and courage, gratitude and stability. So we try to instill that and try to get that mindset going for them.
So the acronym is LEGS.
It's Becky's legs. We talk about Becky's legs. She hates when I say that. But it's love, encouragement, gratitude, and stability.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's great. Let's go back to chaplain centers for a minute. I know that you have several on the board to roll out over the course of a year. Where is the first chaplain center going to open at?
Well, the first chaplain center is opening in Wilmington here at Warrior Family Ministries headquarters.
And that's located in what state? Because there's Wilmington.
It's in North Carolina.
There you go.
Sorry, I forgot about Wilmington, Delaware. But Wilmington, North Carolina, here in right off of college. It's all ready. It's been set up. It's been painted, and it looks just like a nice, comfortable living room. We changed out the lights to nice soft. But it's from what we hear, everybody goes in there, they're like, wow, this is awesome. So it's very, very comfortable. That's the whole thing. Because we took a lot of care into, like, what does this look like? What's the best way to approach someone? Because everybody's been through clinical stuff.
Yeah.
You've been through counseling offices, and we're like, no, we're not going to do that. This is going to be very, very comfortable.
That's awesome. One more thing about these chaplain centers. You are going to be overseeing them on a national level. So from a national perspective, how many are you looking at rolling out approximately, like we're at in the United States so far?
Okay. We've already been talking to some company commanders in Michigan.
Okay.
And so far that seems to be the next place to go, but we haven't really decided. That decision hasn't been made yet. But what's going to happen is the chaplain center chaplain requirements and the application and the code of ethics and basically the job description is going to be, this week is going out to all the company commanders and assistant company commanders nationwide, okay, for them to review and for them to start looking at, number one, where could we do this? Where would be a really place that we could set one up, and also starting to identify candidates that can go through the chaplain center chaplain selection process.
And just so if you are a chaplain and you're listening to this and you're thinking, wow, this might be up my alley, how long will it take for someone from start to finish that process?
Well, let me go through the steps of the process, but it'd be easier to answer that question. We do have a selection board. And so the first part would be you would get a recommendation from your company commander and your assistant company commander, and then you say, and then we would then get in contact with you, and they would interview you and kind of like lay out this is what a chaplain center chaplain is, and this and ask and answer any questions that you may have or whatever. And then there's an application. That application is very extensive as far as resumes, background, experience, all that stuff.
Right.
And then there will be a chaplain center, chaplain school, okay? And that's like a three-day event.
Yeah.
Where you go through like the basics, but a lot of scenarios. Specifically, we've come up with scenarios that they will chaplains will encounter in the center. And through that, people really get a chance to see if they really have the experience and the heart to do this, because we're going to put you in situations that are real.
Right.
And also we'll get a chance to watch, because everybody says that they could be a chaplain center chaplain, but you, until you really get into it, you really don't know.
That's right.
So this training session serves two purposes: for training, but also for a chance for us to be able to see how someone reacts to these different situations. So that'll take 3 days. So the process from start to finish could, we're planning on probably having the class once a quarter once we get up and running.
Right.
We're going to have the training according to our headquarters directive by the end of December for review. So we're looking at February or March for the first school.
Right.
And it's open. Actually, this training is open to all chaplains, even if you don't want to be a chaplain center chaplain, because out of that, we're hoping to be able to start select people to do this. So by June, we're thinking that we'll probably have the second center up and running.
Right.
Or even have starting to have chaplain, candidates.
Right.
So
that sounds awesome. Okay. Well, our time here flies by pretty fast. So I want to end it on this. If you have one thing that you want to say to anybody out there who is struggling, what would it be?
There's hope in relationships. And that means that because we are the hands and feet of Jesus,
yes,
through that relationship, we're able to sit with people and to provide that hope because they get a chance to see it. Because the world's all about performance.
Right.
We're not about performance. We're about hope. And our hope is in Christ. And through that, we're able to demonstrate that. We're able to show that. And I think that's the biggest thing. Because without that, we're just somebody else that's trying to learn stuff out of a book. And that's not what we're about. We're all about hope. We're all about relationship building and trust.
Amen. Amen. Well put. Well, thank the two of you for coming on board, and thank you for being a part of Warrior Family Ministries and being in the leadership roles that you both hold. I want to tell you how much we appreciate everything that you've worked so diligently on to bring these chaplain centers into fruition. I'm excited about the first one rolling out and the future ones coming and over the course of a year. And if you are someone who needs that hope, who needs to have someone just listen, don't hesitate. Give us a call. Whether our center is up in your area or not, or whether we're even in your area, we have people that can help you. Our office is located in Wilmington, North Carolina, 610 South College Road. That's our home office. And the phone number here is 910-769-2490. You can call Monday through Thursday, Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and book an appointment or see if there's a chaplain that can either return a call to you or meet with you. The bottom line is we impact families with hope. And hope looks like whatever is standing in front of us. So thank you again for being on the show. And we will see y'all and hear from y'all again in the future. In the meantime, tune in next week for our next Warrior Family Ministry podcast.
Do you have a desire to be the servant leader you were designed to become and serve outside the walls of the church? Hello, I'm Chaplain Kim Kidd, Executive Director of Warrior Family Ministries. Here at Warrior Family Ministries, we train, equip, and endorse men and women to walk out their purpose. Our mission is to impact families with hope. What does hope look like? It's whatever they need to make the family strong, whether that's a physical need, an emotional need, or a spiritual need. Our crisis-trained chaplains are trained to serve. We are called to become an elite army of chaplains who stand ready to answer the call to serve outside the walls of the church, within our communities, on national response teams, or within our nationally growing chaplain centers. Find out today how you can become a part of our growing family of men and women who have answered the call to join this elite force who is impacting the nations. For more information, check out WFMChaplains.org, WarriorFamilyMinistries.org, or call 910-769-2490 today.